3 special sessions, 1 regular session. It has been a busy year for our state legislature, which means it's been a busy year for the Pelican Institute, which means it's been a busy year for our next guest, Daniel Erspommer, who's on with us now. Daniel, good morning. How are you, sir?
Hey, good morning. I am tired.
Making that Christmas party circuit, are you?
I am. I had 5 this week.
So oh, my goodness gracious.
I'm ready to sit on my couch for a while, I think.
No, yeah. So today's my last show of the year, so it's nothing but pajama pants from here on in.
Love it.
Yep. And we had our company Christmas party last night, so I'm all charged up on community coffee this morning. There might have been a 5-hour energy mixed in with that.
Well, you got to do what you got to do.
Absolutely. Recap 2024 for us. What were y'all's highlights?
Yeah, boy, it was an action-packed year. So certainly, I don't know, maybe we'll work backward, but substantial package of tax restructuring is a huge deal for the state. The passage of LA Gator and a pathway to universal options for every family to choose a school that fits them. A revamp of several other education programs to put more power in the hands of parents and families. A big discussion, you know, certainly a big outcome in terms of the tax reform, but a discussion about Constitution. While we didn't get the convention across the finish line, this is part of what our conversation is now. And I think the mood and attitude toward the state constitution has changed dramatically. Mm-hmm. Other big wins on occupational licensure, finally removing the ridiculous testing requirement to be a florist, and the Welcome Home Act that says if you're licensed and in good standing in another state, we want you and need you here in Louisiana. And all of this capped off, you know, we've had some big announcements by Meta and others to build data centers, and population is starting to move in the right direction again. So all the things we talked about in terms of riding Louisiana's comeback are starting to work, and now we just have to keep our foot on the gas pedal.
You mentioned that Meta announcement, the data center that's up there in northeast Louisiana. The economic impact of that in a bubble, that in a vacuum, I don't think is going to be that big. But the headline, Meta chooses Louisiana, I think is going to carry a lot further. It's just you're going to get more out of the pub than you are out of the actual project.
Yeah, I think it's candidly a big deal on both fronts. You're absolutely right. The headline of that says, hey, we're open. And we're a good place to come and do business, and we're getting better. And a big company like Meta choosing Louisiana, and it's their biggest data center by a lot.
Yeah.
It's a lot of construction jobs over the next few years in particular, and a lot of really good jobs at the center moving forward. So, but we've already seen or at least heard another one coming from another company, and some more big announcements, I think, on the way.
Yeah, there's another one coming to one. It's on a smaller scale, but nonetheless huge. We'll be in West Feliciana Parish, and actually we'll get there sooner because yeah, the infrastructure for the Meta one is nowhere near ready yet. And when you look up there by I-20 and then Highway 80, east of Rayville, there's just not a lot going on.
They're
going to have to build out a whole lot, but it's going to open up so much more as far as what they will be capable of, because I'm trying to zoom out a little bit on the map here. It's an area that's ripe with potential, and that's it. Just potential and nothing else. So
that's right.
Can you attribute either of those moves directly to any of the actions of the state legislature from this past year?
Well, I think the answer to that is yes. Look at the history. We haven't been on the list for anybody's new big development,
right,
for the last decade plus. And so now we see significant movement on a variety of issues, a commitment, from the governor and the legislature to do even more. I think, you know, you look at this, you look at the hard work of Susan Bourgeois and the other folks who've been working on this for a while, the folks up in Monroe, all this comes together, probably not just one thing, but all of this comes together to say, yes, we are a good place. You should come here.
How do we keep the momentum? And we're going to move over to education in a minute, but how do we keep the momentum going on the economic development front? I feel like we're just getting started, but at the same time, though, you run into longevity problems when you talk about elected officials. Honeymoons wear off. People term out. How do you keep this moving and make it sustainable to pick up in 2025 where it left off in 2024?
Yeah, it's a great question, and the answer to it really is policy. And this is why, you know, I think we saw Secretary Bourgeois say the best thing that the legislature could do for economic development was eliminate the personal income tax. And eliminate the franchise tax. We're on our way. We eliminated the franchise tax. We're on our way on the income tax. That means it's not relying on who's in office and what good pitch you can give to a company. But we've got to make this place the best place to innovate, the best place to do business, the best place to raise a family and have a great workforce. So getting those policies right, continuing to restrain spending so that we can lower the income tax, recruit more taxpayers. That's how we solve this puzzle. So it's not resting on our laurels, but really making sure, especially on the tax policy front, that we put pressure on the locals to eliminate that inventory tax, and we keep pushing both the rates of everything, the sales tax, corporate tax, and income tax, down lower as we continue to broaden the base and restrain spending.
Meanwhile, over on the education front, Dr. Cade Brumley is not going unnoticed at all. That man has been working hard. And we're already seeing results there. It's not, you know, we're not where we want to be yet, but it's better to be 40th in something than 48th, right?
No question about it. All the indicators are, you know, we're moving in the right direction. The focus on literacy and numeracy, getting really back to basics and doing what schools are supposed to do. And as we start to feel the impact of competition and empowering parents to choose the school that fits their kids best, we're going to see those skyrocket even more. You know, we've talked about this, Brian, before, but, you know, even if you're in a great school district or one that's doing well, that school may not fit for some child. The best school in the world isn't going to fit for every child. So how do we make sure, you know, the best way to make sure kids succeed is put them in an environment to succeed? And that's what LA Gator and other programs that really empower parents seek to do.
Okay, same question as economic development, this time on the educational front. How do we grow it? How do we get more out of it?
Yeah, we got to make sure families know that these options are available. We've started to do that in a statewide campaign, but spreading the word and making sure parents know how to access this and getting a commitment from the legislature. They've got to fund this program in the coming year and make sure that we don't just let this be a symbolic victory, but it actually gets into the hands of families and gets kids in the schools that work for them. So, you know, if we can continue to do that, continue in the department and others to focus on the kids and how they're learning and how we're teaching, rather than all the things that education tends to get wrapped in about the adults in the system. Remember, education is about kids and their outcomes. If we can stay focused there and continue to invest in those pathways to careers, especially in our high school programs, it's just going to have a huge impact in continuing to drive those numbers upward. We saw it in Florida over the years. We started to see it in Mississippi. I think we're going to see it in spades here in Louisiana.
Well, because we're already on the precursor lists. We're already on the list where we're showing the growth. It's the test scores aren't where they are or aren't where they need to be yet, but we're seeing those preseason All-Americans right now, you know? We got Daniel Erspommer from the Pelican Institute with us for a couple more minutes. Daniel, did we even mention insurance yet?
Oh, gosh, we haven't.
No.
Some very good progress there. You know, one little thing we worked on that didn't get a whole lot of fanfare, but a new innovation program we call a regulatory sandbox to allow innovative approaches to provide insurance to come to Louisiana. Commissioner Temple was a big supporter of this, and we've seen it work in some other states and other countries. But that's one small part of a broader package to really drive insurance rates down. Now, there's a lot more work to do here. We've got to tackle the legal abuse even further. That's a major driver of it. But some good, common sense, thoughtful reforms from fortified roofs to some administrative changes that the commissioner and his team have made. We're beginning to on the cusp, I think, of feeling the results of those changes. But there is more to do there.
A lot more to do. Specifically, you mentioned on the legal front. I'll just say on the car insurance front, because it's the legal front that leads to the car insurance front. How much bolder can we be in 2025? I feel like there were a lot of asks. Some of them got vetoed. How do you get past the veto? Is it by rewriting the legislation to make it more palatable, or are we looking at areas where it won't be palatable and the state legislature is just going to have to say, hey, look, Governor, you do your thing and veto it. We'll do our thing and override it.
You know, I think these things always are worthy of a second look to make sure we've, you know, designed the program the best way possible. So, I certainly wouldn't suggest that it not be a part of the process. It should. Right. But ultimately, if, you know, the governor, exactly as you said, the governor's going to stake out his position. Hopefully we can all persuade him and the administration that these are good, thoughtful reforms that will really help people. But let's craft them well, and then, you know, if the governor makes his choice, the legislature has to speak up for the people they represent as well. That's the way the legislative process works. So I fully expect and encourage the legislature to bring those ideas back. Let's work them through, make sure we got it right, and give the governor a chance to do what he's going to do. But there's no question the legislature, and I would argue every elected official, has got to stay laser focused on getting this right, or else, you know, those costs are going to negate the value of a lot of the other things that great things that have been done.
Rate the work of the governor and legislature over the course of the year. Give them a grade, letter grade.
Oh man, I think I'd give them maybe an A-.
Okay,
that's
strong.
This was a lot of work. A lot of effort. I was visiting with some lawmakers at one of my Christmas parties last night, and you know, they're tired. They've been working hard at this. It's a theoretically part-time job, but really is all-consuming. So kudos to them for a lot of hard work. They got some big things across the finish line, and they're not done yet. You know, I think that's what's really encouraging to me is, almost every legislator I talk to says, this is just the start. We got to keep going.
From the Pelican Institute's standpoint, putting together the agenda, the wants, needs, and desires for 2025, where are we there and what's top of the list?
Yeah, top of the list is we've got to actually implement LA Gator, the education scholarship program, make sure it has the funding and structure to succeed. That's the next step the legislature has to take. We're going to recommend a package of regulatory reforms to remove red tape and decrease the impact of the administrative state on entrepreneurs and families around the state, continue to do that work on occupational licensure that the legislature has really championed the last few years. And we're going to keep pushing on restraining spending, finding efficiencies. We'll be fully engaged in any help we can provide to the legislature and the governor on his version of DOGE here in Louisiana. And we're going to continue to push those tax rates down. So just, you know, a few things to do.
It is December 20th, and I have yet to read the headline about someone being hospitalized due to the negligence of an unlicensed florist. So I think we're good.
Hallelujah. We made it.
He is Daniel Erzbomber. You have a great and Merry Christmas. We'll talk to you in the new year, man.
Thanks, my friend. You too.